Chapter 2, Showing How to Spend the Day with God. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 25, verse 5. Which of us is there that can truly say this? Who lives this life of communion with God, which is so much our business and so much our blessedness? How far short do we come of the spirit of holy David, though we have much better assistances for our acquaintance with God than the saints then had, by the clearer discoveries of the meditation of Christ. Yet that weak Christians who are sincere may not therefore despair. Be it remembered that David himself was not always in such a frame that he could say so. He had his infirmities, and yet was a man after God's own heart, Acts 13, verse 22. We have infirmities also, which, if they are sincerely lamented and striven against, and the habitual bent of our souls is toward God and heaven, we shall be accepted through Christ, for we are not under the law, but under grace. However, David's profession in the text shows us what our practice should be. On God, we must wait all the day. That denotes two things: a patient expectation and a constant attendance. First, it speaks a patient expectation of his coming to us in a way of mercy. And then, all the day must be taken figuratively, for all the time that the wanted and desired mercy is delayed. David, in the former part of the verse, prayed for divine conduct and instruction. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. And he was at a loss, and very desirous to know what God would have him to do, and was ready to do it. But God kept him in suspense. He was not yet clear what the mind and will of God was, what course he should steer, and how he should dispose of himself. Will he therefore proceed without divine direction? No. On thee will I wait all the day, as Abraham attended on the sacrifice from morning till the sun went down, before God gave him an answer to his inquiries concerning his seed, Genesis 15, verses 5 through 21, and as Habakkuk stood upon his watchtower to see what answer God would give him when he consulted his oracle, Habakkuk 2, verse 1. And though it does not come presently, yet at the end it shall speak and not lie. David, in the words before the text, had called God the God of his salvation, Psalm 24, verse 5, the God on whom he depended for salvation, temporal and eternal salvation, from whom he expected deliverance out of his present distresses, those troubles of his heart that were enlarged, Psalm 25, verse 17, and out of the hands of those enemies who were ready to triumph over him, that's verse 2, and who hated him with a cruel hatred, and that's verse 19. Hoping that God will be his Savior, he resolves to wait on him all the day, like a genuine son of Jacob, whose dying profession was, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord, Genesis 49, 18. Sometimes God precedes his people with the blessings of his goodness. Before they call, he answers them and is in the midst of his church to help her, and that right early, Psalm 46, verse 5. But at other times, he seems to stand afar off. He delays the deliverance and keeps them long in expectation of it, even in suspense about it. The light is neither clear nor dark. It is day, and that is all. It is a cloudy and a dark day, and it is not till evening time that it is light, that the comfort comes which they have been kept all the day waiting for. Nay, perhaps it comes not till far in the night. It is at midnight that the cry is made, Behold, the bridegroom comes, Matthew 25, verse 6. The deliverance of the church out of her troubles, the success of her struggles and rest from them, a rescue from under the rod of the wicked, and the accomplishment of all that which God has promised concerning it, is for what we must continue humbly waiting upon God for, without distrust or impatience. We must wait all the day. Number one, though it be a long day, though we be kept waiting a great while, quite beyond our own reckoning, though when we have waited long, we are still obliged to wait longer, and are bid with the prophet's servant to go yet seven times, 1 Kings 18, verse 43, before we perceive the least sign of mercy coming. We looked, that is, and the other had been he that should have delivered Israel, Luke 24, verse 21, but are disappointed. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved, Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The time is prolonged, nay, the opportunities are let slip. The summertime and harvest time, when we thought to have reaped the fruit of all our prayers, pains, and patience, is past and ended, and we are as far as ever from salvation. The time that the ark abode in Kiriath-Jearim was long, much longer than it was thought it would have been when it was first lodged there. It was 20 years, so that the whole house of Israel lamented after the Lord and began to fear it would abide forever in that obscurity, 1 Samuel 7, verse 2. But though it be a long day, it is but a day, but one day, and it is known to the Lord, Zechariah 14, verse 7. It seems long while we are kept waiting, but the happy issue will enable us to reflect upon it as short, and but for a moment. It is no longer than God has appointed, and we are sure his time is the best time, and his favors are worth waiting for. The time is long, but it is nothing to the days of eternity, when those who had long patience shall be recompensed for it with an everlasting salvation. Number two, though it be a dark day, yet let us wait upon God all the day. Though while we are kept waiting for what God will do, we are kept in the dark concerning what he is doing and what is best for us to do. Yet let us be content to wait in the dark. Though we see not our signs, though there is none to tell us how long, yet let us resolve to wait, however long it may be. For though what God does we know not now, yet we shall know hereafter, when the mystery of God shall be finished. Never was a man more at a loss concerning God's dealings with him than poor Job was. I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, on the right hand, but I cannot see him. Job 23, verses 8 through 9. Yet he sits down, resolving to wait on God all the day with a satisfaction in this, that though he know not the way that he takes, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's verse 10. Approved and improved. He sits by as a refiner, and will take care that the gold be in the furnace no longer than is needful for the refining of it. When God's way is in the sea, so that he cannot be traced, yet we are sure his way is in the sanctuary, so that he may be trusted, Psalm 77, verses 13 and 19. And when clouds and darkness are round about him, yet even then, justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne, Psalm 97, verse 2. Number 3. Though it be a stormy day, yet we must wait upon God all the day. Though we are not only becalmed and do not go forward, but though the wind be contrary and drive us back, nay, though it be boisterous and the church be tossed with tempests and ready to sink, yet we must hope the best, yet we must wait and weather the storm by patience. It is some comfort that Christ is in the ship. The church's cause is Christ's cause. He has espoused it, and he will own it. He has embarked in the same vessel with his people, and therefore, why are you fearful? Doubt but not that the ship will come safe to land, though Christ seems for the present to be asleep, and the prayers of his disciples will awaken him, and he will rebuke the winds and the waves. Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. Though the bush burn, if God be in it, it shall not be consumed. Exodus 3, verse 2. Yet this is not all. Christ is not only in the ship, but at the helm. Whatever threatens the church is ordered by the Lord Jesus, and he shall be made to work for its good. It is excellently expressed by Mr. George Herbert. Away despair, my gracious God doth hear, when winds and waves assault my keel. He doth preserve it, he doth steer, e'en when the boat seems to most reel. Storms are the triumph of his art. Well, he may close his eyes, but not his heart. It's a seasonable word at this day. What God will do with us, we cannot tell, but this we are sure of, that he is a God of judgment, infinitely wise and just, and therefore, blessed are all they that wait for him. Isaiah 30, verse 18. He will do his own work in his own way and time, and though we'd be hurried back into the wilderness when we thought we had been upon the borders of Canaan, we suffer justly for our unbelief and murmurings. But God acts wisely and will be found faithful to his promise. His time to judge for his people and to relent is when he sees that their strength is gone. This was seen of old in the mount of the Lord and shall be again. And therefore let us continue in a waiting frame. Hold out faith and patience, for it is good that a man should both hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3, verse 26. Second, it speaks a constant attendance upon him in a way of duty. And so we understand the day literally. It was David's practice to wait upon God all the day. It signifies both every day and all the day long. It is the same with that command, Proverbs 23, verse 17. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Point, doctrine. It is not enough for us to begin every day with God, but on him we must wait every day and all the day long. For the opening of this, I must show what it is to wait upon God, and that we must do this every day and all the day long. Roman numeral 1. Let us inquire what it is to wait upon God. You have heard how much it is our duty in the morning to speak to him in solemn prayer. But have we then done with him for all day? No, we must still be waiting on him, as one to whom we stand very nearly related and very strongly obliged. To wait on God is to live a life of desire toward him, delight in him, dependence on him, and devotedness to him. Number one, it is to live a life of desire toward God. To wait on him as the beggar waits on his benefactor, with earnest desire to receive supplies from him, as the sick and sore in Bethesda's pool waited for the stirring of the water, and attended in the porches with desire to be helped in and healed. John chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. When the prophet had said, Lord, in the way of thy judgments we have waited for thee, he explained himself thus in the next words, the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee, and with my soul have I desired thee. Isaiah 26, verses 8 through 9. Our desire must not be only toward the good things that God gives, but toward God himself, his favor and love, the manifestation of his name to us, and the influence of His grace upon us. We wait on God when our souls pant after Him and His favor, and when we thirst for God, for the living God. Oh, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, Psalm 27, verse 4. Oh, that I may taste His goodness, Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, that I may bear His image and be entirely conformed to His will. For there is none in heaven or earth that I can desire in comparison of Him, Psalm 73, verse 25. Oh, that I may know Him more and love Him better and be brought nearer to Him and made fitter for Him. Thus, upon the wings of holy desire, should our souls be still soaring upward toward God, still pressing forward, forward toward heaven. We must not only pray solemnly in the morning, but that desire, which is the life and soul of prayer, must be kept continually burning, like the fire upon the altar, ready for the sacrifices that are to be offered upon it. The bent and bias of the soul in all its motions must be toward God, serving Him in all we do and enjoying Him in all we have. And this is principally intended in the commands we are given to pray always, to pray without ceasing, and to continue in prayer. Even when we are not making actual address to God, we must have habitual inclinations toward Him. As a man in health, though he is not always eating, yet has always a disposition in him toward the nourishment and delights of the body. Thus, we must always be waiting upon God as our chief good and moving toward Him. Number two, it is to live a life of delight in God, as the lover waits upon his beloved. Desire is love in motion, as a bird upon the wing. Delight is love at rest, as a bird upon the nest. Now, though our desire must still be so toward God, that we must be wishing for more of God, yet our delight must be so in God, that we must never wish for more than God. Believing Him to be a God all-sufficient, in Him we must be entirely satisfied. Let Him be mine, and I have enough. Do we love to love God? Is it a pleasure to us to think that there is a God? That He is such a one as He has revealed Himself to be? That He is our God by creation, to dispose of us as He pleases? Our God in covenant, to dispose of all for the best to us? This is waiting on our God, always looking up to Him with pleasure. Every soul has something or other that it values itself by, something or other that it reposes itself in. And what is it? God or the world? What is it that we pride ourselves in, which we make the matter of our boasting? Is it the character of worldly people that they boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, Psalm 49, verse 6, and of their own might, and the power of their own hands, which they think have gotten them this wealth? Is it the character of godly people that in God they boast all the day long? Psalm 44, verse 8. That is waiting on God, having our eye always upon Him with a secret complacency, as men have upon that which is their glory and which they glory in. What is it that we please ourselves with, which we embrace with the greatest satisfaction, which we lay our heads in the bosom of, and which we hug ourselves in having, as having all we would have? The worldly man, when his barns are full of corn, says, "Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry," Luke 12, verse 19. The godly man can never say so till he finds his heart full of God and Christ and grace, and then, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul," Psalm 116, verse 7. Here, repose thyself. The gracious soul dwells in God, is at home in Him, and there dwells at ease, is in him perpetually pleased. And whatever he meets with in the world to make himself uneasy, he finds enough in God to balance it. Number three, it is to live a life of dependence on God as the child waits on his father, whom he has a confidence in and on whom he casts all his care. To wait on God is to expect all good to come to us from him as the worker of all good for us and in us, the giver of all good to us, and the protector of us from all evil. Thus David explains himself, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, and continue still to do so, for my expectation is from him." Psalm 62, verse 5. "I look not to any other for the good I need, for I know that every creature is that to me, and no more than he makes it to be, and from him every man's judgment proceeds. Shall we lift up our eyes to the hills? Does our help come thence?" Psalm 121, verse 1. "Does the dew that waters the valleys come no further than from the tops of the hills? Shall we go higher and lift up our eyes to the heavens, to the clouds? Can they of themselves give rain? No. If God hear not the heavens, they hear not the earth. We must therefore look above the hills, above the heavens, for all our help cometh from the Lord." It was the acknowledgement of a king, and no good one neither. "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the winepress?" 2 Kings 6, verse 27. And our expectations from God, as far as they are guided by and grounded upon the word which he has spoken, ought to be humbly confident and with a full assurance of faith. We must know and be sure that no word of God shall fall to the ground, that the expectation of the poor shall not perish. Worldly people say to their gold, "Thou art my hope," and to the fine gold, "Thou art my confidence." Job 31, verse 24. And the rich man's wealth is his strong city. But God is the only refuge and portion of the godly man here in the land of the living. It is to him only that he says, and he says it with a holy boldness, "Thou art my hope and my confidence." Psalm 71, verse 5. The eyes of all things wait on him, for he is good to all. But the eyes of his saints especially, for he is in a peculiar manner good to Israel, good to them. They know his name, and therefore will trust and triumph in him, as those who know they shall not be made ashamed of their hope. Number four, it is to live a life of devotedness to God, as the servant waits upon his master, ready to observe his will and do his work, and in everything to consult his honor and interest. To wait on God is entirely and unreservedly to refer ourselves to his wise and holy directions and disposals, and cheerfully to acquiesce in them and comply with them. The servant that waits on his master chooses not his own way, but follows his master step by step. Thus we must wait on God as those who have no will of our own, but what is wholly resolved into his, and must therefore study to accommodate ourselves to his will. It is the character of the redeemed of the Lord that they follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes, with an implicit faith and obedience. As the eyes of a servant are to the hand of his master, and the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, so must our eyes wait on the Lord, to do what he appoints us, to take what he allots us. "Father, thy will be done." Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. "Master, thy will be done." The servant waits on his master, not only to do him service, but to do him honor. And thus must we wait on God, that we may be to him for a name and for a praise. His glory must be our ultimate end, to which we and all we are, have, and can do. It must be dedicated. We wear his livery, attend in his courts, and follow his motions as his servants for this end, that he may in all things be glorified. To wait on God is to make his will our rule. Letter A. To make the will of his precept the rule of our practice, and to do every duty with an eye to that. We must wait on him to receive his commands with a resolution to comply with them, how much soever they may contradict our corrupt inclinations or secular interests. We must wait on him as the holy angels do, who always behold the face of their Father as those who are at his beck and are ready to go upon the least intimation of his will, though but by a wink of his eye, wherever he sends them. Thus must we do the will of God as the angels do it who are in heaven, those ministers of his that do his pleasure and are always about his throne in order to it, and never out of the way. David here prays that God would show him his way and lead him and teach him and keep him and forward him in the way of his duty. And so the text comes in as a plea to enforce that petition. For on thee do I wait all the day, ready to receive the law from thy mouth and in everything to observe thy orders. And then it intimates this, that those and those only can expect to be taught of God, who are ready and willing to do as they are taught. If any man will do his will, be steadfastly resolved in the strength of his grace to comply with it, he shall know what his will is. David prays, Lord, give me understanding, and then promises himself, I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it. Psalm 119, verse 34. As the servant that waits on his master. They that go up to the house of the Lord with an expectation that he will teach them his ways must go with a humble resolution that they will walk in his paths. Isaiah 2, verse 3. Lord, let the pillar of cloud and fire go before me, for I am determined with full purpose of heart to follow it, and thus to wait on my God all the day. Letter B. To make the will of his providence the rule of our patience, and to bear every affliction with an eye to that. We are sure it is God who performs all things for us, and he performs the thing that is appointed for us. We are assured that all is well that God does, and shall be made to work for good to all that love him. Romans 8, verse 28. And therefore we ought to acquiesce in and accommodate ourselves to the whole will of God. To wait on the Lord is to say, it is the Lord, let him do to me as seemeth good to him, because nothing seemeth good to him but what is really good. And so shall we see it, when God's work appears in a full light. It is to say, not as I will, but as thou wilt, for should it be according to my mind? It is to bring to our mind, to our condition in everything, so as to keep it calm and easy, whatever happens to make us uneasy. And we must therefore bear the affliction, whatever it is, because it is the will of God. It is what he has allotted us, who does all according to the counsel of his own will. And this is Christian patience. I was silent, I opened not my mouth, not because it was to no purpose to complain, but because thou didst it, and therefore I had no reason to complain. And this will reconcile us to every affliction, one as well as another, because whatever it is the will of God, and in compliance with it, we must not only be silent because of the sovereignty of his will. Woe unto him that strives with his maker, Isaiah 45, verse 9, but we must be satisfied because of the wisdom and goodness of it. Whatever the disposals of God's providence may be concerning those who wait on him, we may be sure that as he does them no wrong, so he means them no hurt. Nay, they may say as Job did, even when he was plagued all the day long and chastened every morning, however it be, yet God is good, and therefore, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, yet will I wait on him. Job 13, verse 15. I might open this duty of waiting on God by other scripture expressions which speak the same thing and are as this, comprehensive of a great part of that homage which we are bound to pay to him, and that communion which it is our interest to keep up with him. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verse 3. It is to set God always before us. Psalm 16, verse 8. To look upon him as one always near us, always in our right hand, and who has his eye upon us wherever we are and whatever we are doing, nay, as one in whom we live and move and have our being. Acts 17, verse 28. With whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. And to whom we are accountable. This is pressed upon us as the great principle of gospel obedience. Walk before me and be thou upright. Genesis 17, verse 1. Herein consists that uprightness which is our evangelical perfection, in walking at all times as before God and studying to approve ourselves to him. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. It is to have our eyes ever toward the Lord, as it follows here, Psalm 25, verse 15. Though we cannot see him by reason of our present distance and darkness, yet we must look toward him, toward the place where his honor dwells, as those who desire the knowledge of him and his will, and direct all to his honor as the mark that we aim at, laboring in this, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. To wait on him is to follow him with our eye in all those things wherein he is pleased to manifest himself and to admit the discoveries of his being and perfections. It is to acknowledge God in all our ways, Proverbs 3, verse 6. In all the actions of life and in all the affairs of life, we must walk in his hand and set ourselves in the way of his steps. In all our undertakings, we must wait upon him for direction and success, and by faith and prayer, commit our way to him to undertake for us, and him we must take with us wherever we go. If thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence. Exodus 33, verse 15. In all our comforts, we must see his hand giving them out to us. And in all our crosses, we must see the same hand laying them upon us, that we may learn to receive both good and evil, and to bless the name of the Lord, both when he gives and when he takes. Job 1, verse 21. It is to follow the Lord fully, as Caleb did, Numbers 14, verse 24. It is to fulfill after the Lord. So the word is to have respect to all his commandments and to study to stand complete in his whole will. Wherever God leads us and goes before us, we must be followers of him as dear children, must follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, and take him for our guide whithersoever we go. This is to wait on God, and those who do so may cheerfully wait for him, for he will without fail appear in due time to their joy, and that word of Solomon shall be made good to them. He who waits on his master shall be honored. Proverbs 27, verse 18. For Christ has said, where I am, there shall also my servant be. John 12, verse 26. Roman numeral number 2. Having shown you what it is to wait on God, I come next to show that we must do this every day and all the day long. Number 1, We must wait on our God. Omni D. Every day. It is the work of every day which is to be done in its day, for the duty of every day requires it. Servants in the courts of princes have their weeks or months of waiting appointed them, and are obliged to attend only at certain times. But God's servants must never be out of waiting. All the days of our appointed time, the time of our work and warfare here on earth, we must be waiting. Job 14, verse 14. And not desire or expect to be discharged from this attendance until we come to heaven, where we shall wait on God, as the angels do, more nearly and constantly. We must wait on God every day. Letter A. Both on Sabbath days and on weekdays. The Lord's Day was instituted and appointed particularly for our attendance on God in the courts of His house, and there we must wait on Him to give glory to Him and to receive both commands and favors from Him. Ministers must then wait on their ministry, Romans 12, verse 7, and people must wait on it too, saying as Cornelius for himself and his friends, "Now we are all here ready before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Acts 10, verse 33. It is for the honor of God to help to fill up the assemblies of those who attend at the footstool of His throne and to add to their number. The whole Sabbath time, except what is taken up in the works of necessity and mercy, must be employed in our waiting on our God. Christians are spiritual priests, and it is their business to wait in God's house at the time appointed. But that is not enough. We must wait upon our God on weekdays too, for every day of the week we need mercy from Him and have work to do for Him. Our waiting upon Him in public ordinances on the first day of the week is designed to fix us to and fit us for communion with Him all the week after, so that we answer not the intentions of the Sabbath unless the impressions of it abide upon us and go with us into the business of the week, and are kept always in the imagination of the thought of our hearts. Thus, from one Sabbath to another, and from one new moon to another, we must keep in a holy, gracious frame, must be so in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, as to walk in the Spirit all the week. Letter B. Both on idle days and busy days, we must be found waiting on God. Some days of our lives are days of labor and hurry, when our particular calling calls for our close and diligent application. But we must not think that will excuse us from our constant attendance on God. Even when our hands are working about the world, our hearts may be waiting on our God by a habitual regard to Him, to His providence as our guide, and His glory as our end in our worldly business. And thus we must abide with Him in them. Those who rise up early and sit up late and eat the bread of carefulness in pursuit of the world, yet are anxious to wait on God because otherwise all their care and pains will signify nothing, it is labor in vain. Psalm 127 verses 1 through 2. Nay, it is labor in the fire. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 10 through 15. Some days of our lives, we relax from business and take our ease. Many of you have your time for diversion, but then when you lay aside other business, waiting upon God must not be laid aside. When you prove yourselves with mirth, as Solomon did, and say you will enjoy pleasure a little, yet let this wisdom remain with you, Ecclesiastes 2 verses 1 through 3. Let your eye be then up to God, and take heed of dropping your communion with Him in that which you call an agreeable conversation with your friends. Whether it be a day of work or a day of rest, we shall find nothing like waiting upon God, both to lighten the toil of our work and to sweeten the comfort of our repose. So, therefore, whether we have much to do or little to do in the world, we must still wait upon God, that we may be kept from the temptation that attends both the one and the other. Letter C. Both in days of prosperity and in days of adversity, we must be found waiting upon God. Does the world smile upon us and court us? Let us not turn from attending on God to make our court to it. If we have ever so much of the wealth of the world, yet we cannot say we have no need of God, no further occasion to make use of him, as David was ready to say when in his prosperity he said he should never be moved, but soon saw his error when God hid his face and he was troubled. Psalm 30 verses 6 through 7. When our affairs prosper and into our hands God brings plentifully, we must wait upon God as our great landlord and our own obligations to him. We must beg his blessing on what we have and his favor with it, and depend upon him both for the continuance and for the comfort of it. We must wait upon God for wisdom and grace to use what we have in the world for the ends for which we are entrusted with it, as those who must give account and know not how soon. And how much soever we have of this world, and how richly soever it is given us to enjoy it, still we must wait upon God for better things, not only than the world gives, but than he himself gives in this world. Lord, put me not off with this for a portion. And when the world frowns upon us and things go very cross, we must not so fret ourselves at its frowns or so frighten ourselves with them as thereby to be driven off from waiting on God, but rather let us thereby be driven to it. Afflictions are sent for this end, to bring us to the throne of grace, to teach us to pray, and to make the word of God's grace precious to us. In the day of our sorrow, we must wait upon God for those comforts which are sufficient to balance our griefs. Job, when in tears, fell down and worshipped God, taking away as well as giving, Job 1 verse 21. In the day of our fear, we must wait upon God for those encouragements that are sufficient to silence our fears. Jehoshaphat, in his distress, waited upon God, and it was not in vain. His heart was established by it, 2 Chronicles 20 verses 1 through 30. And so was David's often, which brought him to this resolution, which was an anchor to his soul. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, verse 3. Letter D. Both in the days of youth and in the days of old age, we must be found waiting on God. Those who are young cannot begin their attendance on God too soon. The child Samuel ministered to the Lord, and the scripture story puts a particular mark of honor upon it. 1 Samuel 3. And Christ was wonderfully pleased with the hosannas of the children who waited on him when he rode in triumph into Jerusalem. When Solomon, in his youth, upon his accession to the throne, or accession to the throne, waited upon God for wisdom, it is said, the saying pleased the Lord, 1 Kings 3, verse 10. I remember thee, says God to Israel, even the kindness of thy youth, when thou wentest after me, and didst wait upon me in a wilderness, Jeremiah 2, verse 2. To wait upon God is to be mindful of our Creator, and the proper time for that is in the days of our youth, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Those who would wait upon God properly must learn to do it early. The most accomplished courtiers are those who are brought up in the courts. And may the old servants of Jesus be dismissed from waiting on him? No, their attendance is still required and shall still be accepted. They shall not be cast off by their master in the time of old age, and therefore let not them desert his service. When, through the infirmities of age, they can no longer be working servants in God's family, they may be waiting servants. Those who, like Barzillai, who are unfit for the entertainments of the courts of earthly princes, may relish the pleasures of God's courts as well as ever. 2 Samuel 19, verses 31 through 39. The Levites, when they were past the age of 50 and were discharged from the toilsome part of their ministration, yet still must wait on God, must be quietly waiting to give honor to him and to receive comfort from him. Numbers 8, verses 23 through 26. Those who have done the will of God and their work is at an end have need of patience to enable them to wait till they inherit the promise. And the nearer the happiness is which they are waiting for, the dearer should the God they be, or be they are waiting on, and hope shortly to be with eternally. Number two, we must wait on our God to die all the day. So we read it. Every day from morning to night, we must continue waiting on God. Whatever change there may be of our employment, this must be the constant disposition of our souls, that we must attend upon God and have our eyes ever toward him. We must not at any time allow ourselves to wander from God or attend to anything beside him, but what we attend on him or on for him in subordination to his will and in subserviency to his glory. Letter A. We must cast our daily cares upon him. Every day brings with it its fresh cares, more or less. These awake with us every morning, and we need not go so far forward as tomorrow to fetch and care. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6, verse 34. You who are great dealers in the world have your cares attending you all the day. Though you keep them to yourselves, yet they sit down with you and rise up with you. They go out and come in with you, and are more a load upon you than those you converse with are aware of. Some, through the weakness of their spirits, can scarcely determine anything but with fear and trembling. Let this burden be cast upon the Lord, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, believing that his providence extends itself to all your affairs, to all events concerning you, and to all the circumstances of them, even the most minute and seemingly accidental, that your times are in his hands, and all your ways at his disposal. Believe his promise that all things shall be made to work for good to those that love him, Romans 8, verse 28, and then refer it to him in everything to do with you and yours as seems good in his eyes, and rest satisfied in having done so, and resolve to be easy. Bring your cares to God by prayer in the morning, spread them before him, and then make it to appear all the day, by the composedness and cheerfulness of your spirits, that you left them with him, as Hannah did, who, when she had prayed, went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. 1 Samuel 1, verse 18. Commit your way to the Lord, and then submit to his disposal of it, though it may cross your expectations, and bear up yourselves upon the assurances God has given you, that he will care for you as the tender father for the child. Letter B. We must manage our daily business for him with an eye to his providence, putting us into the calling and employment wherein we are, and to his precept, making diligence in our duty, with an eye to his blessing as that which is necessary to make it comfortable and successful, and to his glory as our highest end in all. This sanctifies our common actions to God, and sweetens them, and makes them pleasant to ourselves. If Gaius brings his friends, whom he is parting with a little way on their journey, it is but a piece of common civility. But let him do it after a godly sort, let him in it pay respect to them, because they belong to Christ, and for his sake. Let him do it that he may have an opportunity of so much more profitable communication with them, and then it becomes an act of Christian piety. 3 John verse 6. It is a general rule by which we must govern ourselves in the business of every day. Whatever we do in word or deed, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 verse 17. And thus, in and by the mediator, we wait on our God. This is particularly recommended to servants, though their employments are but mean, and they are under the command of their masters according to the flesh, yet let them do their servile work as the servants of Christ, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Let them do it with singleness of heart as unto Christ, and they shall be accepted of him, and from him shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Ephesians 6 verses 5 through 8, Colossians 3 verses 22 through 24. Let them wait on God all the day when they are doing their day's work, by doing it faithfully and conscientiously, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior, by aiming at his glory even in common business. They work that they may get bread. They would live not that they may live to themselves and please themselves, but that they may live to God and please him. They work that they may fill up time and fill up a place in the world, and because God who made and maintained us has appointed us with quietness to work and to mind our own business. Letter C. We must receive our daily comforts from him. We must wait on him as our benefactor. As the eyes of all things wait upon him to give them their food in due season, and what he gives them that they gather. To him we must look as to our Father for our daily bread, and from him we are appointed to ask it, yea, though we have it in the house, though we have it upon the table. We must wait upon him for a covenant right to it, for a leave to make use of it, for a blessing upon it, for a nourishment by it, and for comfort in it. It is in the word and prayer that we wait on God and keep up communion with him, and by these every creature of God is sanctified to us, 1 Timothy 4 verses 4 through 5, and the property of it is altered. To the pure, all things are pure, Titus 1 verse 15. They have them from the covenant, and not from common providence, which makes a little that the righteous man has better than the riches of many wicked, and much more valuable and comfortable. No inducement can be more powerful to make us see to it that we have, we get honestly, and use it soberly, and give God his due out of it, than this consideration, that we have all of ours from the hand of God, and are entrusted with it as stewards, and consequently are accountable. If we have this thought as a golden thread running through all the comforts of every day, these are God's gifts. After every bit that we eat, and every drop that we drink, is because of his mercy. Every breath we draw, and every step we take, is because of his mercy. This will keep us continually waiting upon him, and will put a double sweetness into all our enjoyments. God will have his mercies taken afresh from his compassions, which for this reason are said to be new every morning, Lamentations 3 verses 22 through 23. And therefore it is not once a week that we are to wait upon him, as people go to market and buy provisions for the whole week, but we must wait on him every day and all the day, as those who live from hand to mouth, and yet live very easy. Letter D. We must resist our daily temptation and do our daily duties in the strength of his grace. Every day brings its temptation with it. Our master knew that when he taught us, as dually as we pray for our daily bread, to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," Matthew 6 verse 13. There is no business we engage in, no enjoyment we partake of, but it has its snares attending it. Satan, by it, assaults us and endeavors to draw us into sin. Now sin is the great evil we should be continually upon our guard against, as Nehemiah was, that I should be afraid and do so and sin. Nehemiah 6, verse 13. We have no way to secure ourselves but by waiting on God all the day. We must not only in the morning put ourselves under the protection of His grace, but we must all the day keep ourselves under the shelter of it. Must not only go forth, but go on in dependence upon that grace which He has said shall be sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. That care which will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Our waiting upon God will furnish us with the best arguments to make use of in resisting temptations, and with strength according to the day. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians 6, verse 10. And then we wait on the Lord all the day. We have duty to do, many an opportunity of speaking good words and doing good works, and we must see and own that we are not sufficient of ourselves for anything that is good. John 15, verse 5. Not so much as to think a good thought. We must therefore wait upon God and seek Him and depend upon Him for that light and fire, that wisdom and zeal which is necessary to the due discharge of our duty, that by His grace we may not only be fortified against every evil word and work, but furnished for every good word and work. From the fullness that is in Jesus Christ, we must by faith be continually drawing grace, grace for all gracious exercises, and grace to help in every time of need. We must wait on His grace, follow the conduct of it, comply with the operations of it, and be turned to it as wax to the seal. Letter E. We must bear our daily afflictions with submission to His will. We are warned to expect trouble in the flesh. John 16, verse 33. Something or other happens every day that grieves us. Something in our relations, something in our callings, events concerning ourselves, our families, or friends that are causes of sorrow. Perhaps we have every day of some bodily pain or sickness, or some cross and disappointment in our affairs. Now in these, we must wait upon God. Christ requires it of all His disciples, that they take up their crosses daily. Matthew 16, verse 24. We must not willfully pluck the cross down upon us, but must take it up when God lays it in our way, and not go a step out of the way of duty, either to meet it or to miss it. It is not enough to bear the cross, but we must take it up. We must accommodate ourselves to it and acquiesce to the will of God in it. Not, this is an evil and I must bear it because I cannot help it, but this is an evil and I will bear it because it is the will of God. We must see every affection as allotted to us by our Heavenly Father, and in it must discover His correcting hand. Therefore, we must wait on Him to know the cause for which He contends with us, what the fault is for which we are chastened in this affliction, what distemper is to be cured by it, that we may answer God's end in afflicting us, and so may be made partakers of His holiness. We must attend the motions of providence, and keep our eye upon our Father when He frowns, that we may discover what His mind is, and what the obedience is which we are to learn by the things that we suffer. We must wait on God for support under our burdens, putting ourselves into and staying ourselves upon the everlasting arms which are laid under the children of God to sustain them when the rod of God is upon them. And we must attend to him for deliverance and must not seek to extricate ourselves by any sinful indirect methods, nor to look to creatures for relief, but still wait on the Lord until he has mercy on us, well content to bear the burden until God eases us of it and eases us in mercy. Psalm 123, verse 2. If the affliction be lengthened out, yet we must wait upon the Lord, even when he hides his face. Isaiah 8, verse 17. Hoping it is but in a little wrath and for a small moment. Isaiah 54, verses 7 through 8. Letter F. We must expect the tidings and events of every day with a cheerful and entire resignation to divine providence. While we are in this world, we are still expecting, hoping well, and fearing ill. We know not what a day, or a night, or an hour will bring forth, Proverbs 27, verse 1. But it is big with something, and we are too apt to spend our thoughts in vain about future things which happen quite differently from what we imagined. Now, in all our prospects, we must wait upon God. Are we in hopes of good tidings, a good issue? Let us wait on God as the giver of the good we hope for, and be ready to take it from his hand, and to meet him with suitable affections when he is coming toward us in a way of mercy. Whatever good we hope for, it is God alone and his wisdom, power, and goodness that we must hope in. And therefore our hopes must be humble and modest, and regulated by his will. What God has promised us, we may with assurance promise ourselves, and no more. If thus we wait hopefully on God, should the hope be deferred, it would not make the heart sick, no, nor if it should be disappointed. For the God we wait on will overrule all for the best. But when the desire comes, in prosecution of which we have thus waited on God, we may see it coming from his love, and it will be a tree of life, Proverbs 13, verse 12. Are we in fear of evil tidings, of melancholy events, and a sad issue of the pending affairs? Let us wait on God to be delivered from all of our fears, from the things themselves that we are afraid of, and from the amazing tormenting fears of them, Psalm 34, verse 4. When Jacob was, and that with good reason, afraid of his brother Esau, he waited on God, brought his fears to him, wrestled with him, and prevailed for deliverance, Genesis 32. What time I am afraid, says David, I will trust in thee, and wait on thee, Psalm 56, verse 3. And that shall establish the heart, it shall fix it, so as to set it above the fear of evil tidings. Are we in suspense between hope and fear, sometimes one prevailing and sometimes the other? Let us wait upon God, the God to whom belong the issues of life and death, good and evil, from whom our judgments and every man's proceed, and compose ourselves into a quiet expectation of the event, whatever it may be, with a resolution to accommodate ourselves to it, hope for the best, and get ready for the worst, and then take what God sends. Use of the application. Number one, let me further urge upon you this duty of waiting upon God all the day in some more particular instances, according to what you have to do all the day in the ordinary business of it. We are weak and forgetful, and need to be put in mind of our duty in general, upon every occasion for the doing of it, and therefore I choose to be thus particular, that I may be your remembrancer. Letter A. When you meet with your families in the morning, wait upon God for a blessing upon them, and attend Him with your thanksgivings for the mercies you and yours have jointly received from God the night past. You and your houses must serve the Lord, must wait upon Him. See it owing to His goodness, who is the founder and father of the families of the righteous, that you are together, that the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in your tabernacles, and therefore wait upon Him to continue you together, to make you comforts to one another, to enable you to do the duty of every relation, and to lengthen out the days of your tranquility. And all the conversation we have with our families, the provision we make for them, and the orders we give concerning them. We must wait upon God, as the God of all the families of Israel, Jeremiah 31, verse 1, and have an eye to Christ, as He in whom all the families of the earth are blessed. Every member of the family, sharing in family mercies, must wait on God for grace to contribute to family duties. Whatever disagreeableness there may be in any family relation, instead of having the spirit either burdened with it or provoked by it, let it be an inducement to wait on God, who is able either to redress the grievance or to balance it and give grace to bear it. Letter B. When you are pursuing the education of your children or the young ones under your charge, wait upon God for His grace to make the means of their education successful. When you are yourselves giving them instruction in things pertaining either to life or godliness, their general or particular calling, when you are sending them to school in the morning or ordering them the business of the day, wait upon God to give them an understanding and a good capacity for their business, especially their main business, for it is God that giveth wisdom. If they are but slow and do not come on as you could wish, yet wait on God to bring them forward and to give them His grace in His own time. And while you are patiently waiting on Him, that will encourage you to take pains with them, and will likewise make you patient and gentle towards them. And let children and young people wait on God in all their daily endeavors to fit themselves for the service of God and their generation. You desire to be comforts to your relations, to be good for something in this world, do you not? Beg of God, then, a wise and understanding heart, as Solomon did, and wait upon Him all the day for it, that you may still be increasing in wisdom, as you do in stature and in favor with God and man. Letter C. When you go to your shops, or apply yourselves to the business of your particular calling, wait upon God for His presence with you. Your business calls for your constant attendance every day, and all the day. Keep the shop, and thy shop will keep thee. But let your attendance on God in your callings be as constant as your attendance on your callings. I, God's providence, in all the occurrences of them. Open shop with this thought. I am now in the way of my duty, and I depend upon God to bless me in it. When you are waiting for customers, wait on God to find you something to do in that calling to which He has called you. Those you call chance customers, you should rather call providence customers, and should say of the advantage you make by them, "The Lord my God brought it to me." When you are buying and selling, see God's eye upon you to observe whether you are honest and just in your dealings, and do no wrong to those you deal with, and let your eye be up to Him for that discretion to which God does instruct not only the husbandman, but the tradesman. Isaiah 28, verse 26. That prudence which directs the way, and which with which it is promised the good man shall order his affairs, for that blessing which makes rich and adds no sorrow with it, for that honest profit which may be expected in the way of honest diligence. Whatever your employments be, in country business or city business or sea business, or only in the business of the house, go about them in the fear of God, depending upon Him to make them comfortable and successful, and to prosper the work of your hands unto you. And hereby you will arm yourselves against the many temptations you are compassed about with in your worldly business. By waiting on God, you will be freed from the care and cumber which attends much serving. Will have your minds raised above the little things of sense and time, will be serving God when you are most busy about the world, and will have God in your hearts when your hands are full of the world. Letter D. When you take a book into your hands, God's book, or any other useful good book, wait upon God for His grace to enable you to make a good use of it. Some of you spend a great deal of time every day in reading, and I hope none of you let a day pass without reading some portions of Scripture, either alone or with your families. Take heed that the time you spend in reading is not lost time. It is so if you read that which is idle and vain and unprofitable. It is so if you read that which is good, even the Word of God itself, and do not mind it, or observe it, or aim to make it of any advantage to you, like Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, wait upon God, who gives you those helps for your souls, to make them helpful indeed to you. The eunuch did so when he was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah in his chariot, and God presently sent him one who made him understand what he read, Acts chapter 8, verses 30 through 31. You read perhaps now and then the histories of former times. In acquainting yourselves with them, you must have an eye to God, and to that wise and gracious providence which governed the world before we were born, and preserved the church in it, and therefore may still be dependent upon to do all for the best, for He is Israel's King of old. Letter E. Wait upon God when you sit down to your tables. See His hand spreading and preparing a table before you, in despite of your enemies, and in the society of your friends. Of 10, review the grant which God made to our first father Adam, and in him to us, of the products of the earth. Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, to you it shall be for meat. Genesis 1, verse 29. And the grant he afterwards made to Noah, our second father, and in him to us. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb. Genesis 9, verse 3. And see in those what a bountiful benefactor he is to mankind, and wait upon him accordingly. We must eat and drink to the glory of God, and then we wait on him in eating and drinking. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. We must receive nourishment for our bodies, that they may be fitted to serve our souls in the service of God, to his honor in this world. We must taste covenant love in common mercies and enjoy the Creator while we are using the creature. We must depend upon the word of blessing from the mouth of God to make our food nourishing to us. And if our provisions are mean and scanty, we must make up the meagerness of them by faith in the promise of God and rejoice in Him as the God of our salvation, though the fig tree doth not blossom, and there is no fruit in the vine. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 18. Letter F. Wait upon God when you visit your friends or receive their visits. Let your eye be to him with thankfulness for your friends and acquaintances that you have comfort in, that the wilderness has not made your habitation, and the solitary and desert land your dwelling, that you have comfort not only in your houses, but in those of your neighbors with whom you have freedom of conversation, and that you are not driven out from among men and made a burden and terror to all about you, that you have clothing not only for necessity, but for ornament, to go abroad in as a mercy, which, that we may not pride ourselves in, we must take notice of God in. I decked thee with ornaments, says God, and put earrings in thine ears, Ezekiel 16, verses 11 through 12, that you have houses, furniture, and entertainment, not only for yourselves, but for your friends, is a mercy in which God must be acknowledged. And when we are in company, we must look up to God for wisdom to conduct ourselves so that we may do much good to and get no harm by those with whom we converse. Wait on God for that grace with which our speech should always be seasoned, by which all corrupt communication may be prevented, and we may abound in that which is good, and to the use of edifying, and which may minister grace to the hearers, that our lips may feed many. Colossians 4, verse 6, Ephesians 4, verse 29. Letter G. When you give alms or do any act of charity, wait on God. Do it as unto him. Give to a disciple in the name of a disciple. To the poor, because they belong to Christ. Do it not for the praise of men, but for the glory of God, with a single eye and an upright heart. Direct it to him, and then your alms as well as your prayers, like those of Cornelius, come up for a memorial before God, Acts 10, verse 4. Beg of God to accept what you do for the good of others, that your alms may indeed be offerings, Acts 24, verse 17, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, Philippians 4, verse 18. Desire of God a blessing upon what you give in charity, that it may be comfortable to those to whom it is given. And though what you are able to give is but a little, like the widow's two mites, yet by God's blessing it may be doubled and made to go a great way, like the widow's meal in the barrel and oil in the cruse, 1 Kings 17, verses 7 through 16. Depend upon God to make up to you what you lay out in good works, and to recompense it abundantly in the resurrection of the just. And you are encouraged to wait upon him for a return of it, even in this life. It is bread cast upon the waters, which you shall find again after many days, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. And you should carefully observe the providence of God, whether it does not make you rich amends for your good works according to the promise, that you may understand the loving kindness of the Lord, and his faithfulness to the word which he has spoken. Letter H. Wait upon God when you inquire after public news. Do it with an eye to him. For this reason, because you are truly concerned for the interests of his kingdom in the world, and lay them near your hearts, because you have a compassion for mankind, for the lives and souls of men, and especially of God's people. Ask what news? Not as the Athenians, only to satisfy a vain curiosity and to pass away an idle hour or two, but that you may know how to direct your prayers and praises, and how to balance your hopes and fears, and may gain such an understanding of the times as to learn what you and others ought to do. If the face of public affairs is bright and pleasing, wait upon God to carry on and perfect his own work, and depend not upon the wisdom or strength of any instruments. If it is instead dark and discouraging, wait upon God to prevent the fears of his people and to appear for them when he sees that their strength is gone. In the midst of the greatest successes of the church and the smiles of second causes, we must not think it needless to wait on God, and in the midst of its greatest discouragements, when its affairs are reduced to the last extremity, we must not think it fruitless to wait upon God. The creatures cannot help without him, but he can help without them. Letter I. Wait upon God when you are traveling. Put yourselves under his protection. Commit yourselves to his care, and depend upon him to give his angels a charge concerning you, to bear you up in their arms when you move, and to pitch their tents about you where you rest. Psalm 91, verse 11. See how much you are indebted to the goodness of his providence for all the comforts and conveniences you are surrounded with in your travels. It is he who has cast our lot in a land where we wander not in wilderness, as in the deserts of Arabia, but have safe and beaten roads, and that through the terrors of war, the highways are not unoccupied. To him we owe it that the inferior creatures are serviceable to us, that our going out and coming in are preserved, that when we are abroad, we are not in banishment, but have liberty to come home again. And when we are at home, we are not under confinement, but have liberty to go abroad. We must, therefore, have our eyes up to God at our setting out, saying, Lord, go along with me where I go. Under his shelter, we must travel, confiding in his care of us, and encouraging ourselves with that in all the dangers we meet with, and in our return must own his goodness. All our bones must say, Lord, who is like unto thee? For he keepeth all our bones, not one of them is broken. Psalm 34, verse 20. Letter J. When we retire into solitude, to be alone, walking in the fields, or alone reposing ourselves in our closets, we must be waiting still upon God. Still, we must keep up our communion with him when we are communing with our own hearts. When we are alone, we must not be alone, but the Father must be with us, and we with him. We shall find temptations even in solitude, which we have need to guard against. Satan set upon our Savior when he was alone in a wilderness. But there also we have opportunity, if we know but how to improve it. For that divine contemplation, which is the best conversation, so that we may never be less alone than when alone. If when we sit alone and keep silence, withdrawn from business and conversation, we have but the art, I should say the heart, to fill up those vacant minutes with pious meditations of God and divine things. We then gather up the fragments of time which remain, that nothing may be lost, and so are we found waiting on God all the day. Number two, let me use some motives to persuade you thus to live a life of communion with God by waiting on him all the day. Letter A. Consider that the eye of God is always upon you. When we are with our superiors and observe them to look upon us, that engages us to look upon them. And shall we not then look up to God, whose eyes always behold and try the children of men? He sees all the motions of our hearts and sees with pleasure the motions of our hearts towards him, which should engage us to set him always before us. The servant, though he be careless at other times, yet when he is under his master's eye, will wait in his place and keep close to his business. We need no more to engage us to diligence than to do our work with eye service upon, or while our master looks upon us, and even because he does so, for then we shall never look off. Letter B. The God you are to wait upon is one with whom you have to do. All things, even the thoughts and intents of the heart, are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. Pros on imen o logos, with whom we have business, or word. Who has something to say to us, and to whom we have something to say? Or, as some read it, to whom for us there is an account. There is a reckoning, a running account between us and him, and every one of us must shortly give account of ourselves to him for everything done in the body, and therefore we are concerned to wait on him, that all may be made right between us and him daily in the blood of Christ, which balances the account. If we considered how much we have to do with God every day, we would be more diligent and constant in our attendance on him. Letter C. The God we are to wait upon continually waits to be gracious to us. He is always doing us good, precedes us with the blessings of his goodness, daily loads us with his benefits, and misses no opportunity of showing his care for us when we are in danger, his bounty to us when we are in need, and his tenderness for us when we are in sorrow. His good providence waits on us all the day to preserve our going out and our coming in, Isaiah 30, verse 18, to give us relief and comforts in due season, to be seen in the mount of the Lord. Nay, his good grace waits on us all the day to help us in every time of need, to be strength to us according as our day is, and all the occurrences of the day. Is God thus forward to do us good, and shall we be backward and remiss in doing him service? Letter D. If we attend upon God, his holy angels shall have a charge to attend upon us. They are all appointed to be ministering spirits, to minister for the good of them who shall be heirs of salvation. They do us more good offices every day than we are aware of. What an honor, what a privilege is it to be waited upon by holy angels and to be borne up in their arms, to be surrounded by their tents. What a security is the ministration of those good spirits against the malice of evil spirits. This honor they have, all they that wait on God all the day. Letter E. This life of communion with God and constant attendance upon him is a heaven upon earth. It is doing the work of heaven and the will of God as they do it who are in heaven, whose business it is always to behold the face of our Father. It is a foretaste of the blessedness of heaven. It is a preparative for it and a prelude to it. It is having our conversation in heaven whence we look for the Savior, looking for him as our Savior. We look to him as our director. And by this we make it to appear that our hearts are there, which will give us good grounds to expect that we shall be there shortly. Number 3. Let me close with some directions, what you must do that you may thus wait on God all the day. Letter A. See much of God in every created thing, of his wisdom and power in the making and placing of it, and of his goodness in its serviceableness to us. Look about you and see what a variety of wonders, what an abundance of comforts you are surrounded with, and let them all lead you to him who is the fountain of being and the giver of all good. All our springs are in him, and from him are all our streams. This will engage us to wait on him, since every creature is that to us that he makes it to be. Thus the same things which draw a carnal heart from God will lead a gracious soul to him, and since all his works praise him, his saints will thence take continual occasion to bless him. It was, they say, the custom of the pious Jews of old, whatever delight they took in any created thing, to give God the glory for it. When they smelled a flower, they said, "Blessed be he that made this flower sweet." If they ate a morsel of bread, "Blessed be he that appointed bread to strengthen man's heart." If thus we taste in everything that the Lord is gracious, and suck all that satisfaction from the breasts of his bounty, we shall thereby be engaged constantly to depend on him, as the child is said to hang on the mother's breast. Letter B. See every created thing to be nothing without God. The more we discern of the vanity and emptiness of the world, and all our enjoyments in it, and their utter insufficiency to make us happy, the closer we shall cleave to God, and the more intimately we shall have conversation with him, that we may find that satisfaction in the Father of spirits which we have in vain sought in the things of sense. What folly is it to make our court to the creatures, and to dance attendance at their door, from which we are sure to be sent away empty, when we have the Creator himself to go to, who is rich in mercy to all that call upon him, is full and free and faithful? What can we expect from lying vanities? Why then should we observe them and neglect our own mercies? Why should we trust in broken reeds when we have a rock of ages to be the foundation of our hopes? And why should we draw from broken cisterns when we have the God of all consolation to be the fountain of our joys? Letter C. Live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot, with any confidence, wait upon God, but in and through a mediator. For it is by his Son that God speaks to us and hears from us. All that passes between a just God and poor sinners must pass through the hands of that blessed arbiter, who has laid his hand upon them both. Every prayer passes from us to God, and every mercy from God to us, by that hand. It is in the face of the anointed that God looks upon us, and in the face of Jesus Christ that we behold the glory and grace of God shining. It is by Christ that we have access to God, and success with him in prayer, and, therefore, must make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. And in that habitual attendance, we must be all the day living upon God. We must have habitual dependence on him, who always appears in the presence of God for us, and always gives attendance to be ready to introduce us. Letter D. Be frequent and serious and pious exclamations. In waiting upon God, we must often speak to Him. We must take all occasions to speak to Him. And when we have not opportunity for a solemn address to Him, you will accept of a sudden address, if it comes from an honest heart. In these, David waited on God all day. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, Psalm 25, verse 1. To Thee do I dart it, and all its gracious breathings after Thee. In holy pleadings, we should ask pardon for this sin, strength against this corruption, victory over this temptation, and it shall not be in vain. This is to pray always and without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It is not the length or language of the prayer that God looks at, but the sincerity of the heart in it, and that shall be accepted, though the prayer be very short and the groanings such as cannot be uttered. Letter F. Look upon every day as if it may be your last. The Son of Man will come at an hour we do not expect, Matthew 24, verse 44. And therefore we cannot be sure any morning that we shall live till night. We hear of many lately who have been snatched away very suddenly. What manner of persons, therefore, ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Though we cannot say, we ought to live as if we were sure this day would be our last, yet it is certain we ought to live as those who do not know but that it may be so, and the rather because we know the day of the Lord will come first or last, and therefore we are concerned to wait on Him. For on whom should poor dying creatures wait but on a living God? Death will bring us all to God, to be judged by Him. It will bring all the saints to Him, to the vision and fruition of Him. Therefore, we must be concerned to wait upon and cultivate an acquaintance with the one we are hastening to and hope to be with forever. If we thought more of death, we would converse more with God. Our dying daily is a good reason for our worshiping daily, and therefore, wherever we are concerned to keep near to God, because we know not where death will meet us. This will alter the property of death. Enoch walked with God and was translated that he should not see death, Genesis 5, verse 24. And this will furnish us with that which will stand for us on the other side of death and the grave. If we continue waiting on God every day and all the day long, we shall grow more experienced and consequently more expert in the great mystery of communion with God. And thus our last days will become our best days, our last works, our best works, and our last comforts, our sweetest comforts, in consideration of which take the prophet's advice. Turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually.